This Get Made. Hey, everybody, welcome to a mini episode of How Did This Get Made? I am Paul Scheer, joining you as always to talk to you through everything that you might have missed from last week's episode and everything that you need to know for next week's episode. I just want to give a quick announcement here. We are doing shows in New York City. Those shows at Irving Plaza sold out literally within minutes, like within 5 minutes for both shows. We were incredibly blown away by that. We will definitely come back to New York. I know a lot of you didn't get your tickets. We will be back. We'll be back with different guests, different movies, the whole big thing. Don't you worry. We'll be back. Also, if you're coming out to Los Angeles to see us live, those shows are sold out. That's on April 4th. The 8 o'clock show is Con Air. The 10 o'clock show is Face Off. These are films that are picked by you. The two most audience-requested films are going to be reviewed on that night. So join us. Again, different guests, different movies. Enjoy it. 8 o'clock Con Air, 10 o'clock Face Off. Moving on. Oh, if you want to get tickets, last-minute tickets for our L.A. shows, or you want to know when our New York shows are going to go back on sale when we go back to New York, follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We always post the most up-to-date stuff there. We are at HDTGM on Twitter, and on Facebook, you can just find us. I'm not going to get through the whole URL of it all. Okay, the year is 1999. We are leaving the ocean and landing in a lake. We're getting rid of genetically engineered sharks, and we are finding out about prehistoric crocodiles. That's right. We're talking about David E. Kelly. Oh, yes. David E. Kelly of Ally McBeal fame. David E. Kelly's Lake Placid, which is basically Jaws in a lake with a crocodile. Now, I know a lot of you are like, oh, wait a second, that movie's actually pretty funny. Yeah, Betty White says, fuck, hilarious. Here's a sample of one of the jokes in the movie. Oh, wow, this water is like really serene. It's placid. Oh, yeah, we were going to call it Lake Placid, but we heard that name was already taken. Nailed it. Bam. If you like jokes like that, then this is the best comedy of all time. Don't take my word for it. Take a listen to the trailer.
It has existed since prehistoric times. It was worshipped by primitive cultures. It can kill a man with one crushing bite.
We heard a man was bit in half.
Any recent bear attacks?
Bears don't attack people underwater.
Probably a fever then.
What was that?
Whatever's out there, he shot with this, he's dead.
Oh no.
Sheriff, how many deputies you got?
You came here to
help you find it. We can't let him kill it.
Experience a few parts mystery.
Do you have any theories of why he's here?
Honestly, I don't know.
And a few parts missing.
It's a human toe.
Is this the man who was killed?
He seemed taller.
Oh my God.
Bill Pullman.
Shoot him! No!
How much of a wacko is this guy?
Bridget Fonda.
Mother!
Oliver Platt.
Maybe he swam back out!
Maybe not.
I just have this feeling everything's totally safe.
This summer, the Earth's oldest creature has just found a new home.
Hurry up!
Wendy! Go under!
Lake Placid.
This movie is a real interesting one to watch. Oliver Platt, I love him, gives a very interesting performance. You can find it very easily online. Lake Placid, if you ever thought to yourself, I love Ally McBeal, I love Boston Legal, I would love to see that guy tackle a non-lawyer movie and just do a prehistoric crocodile movie, then this is going to be right up your alley. Something else up your alley is a chance to correct us. That's right, everybody. It is now time for corrections and omissions. Hit the theme!
Ba 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 ba. You got corrections. Ba 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 ba. You got omissions. Ba 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 ba. You got corrections and omissions. Ba 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 ba.
This is a chance for you to tell us where we messed up, what we might have omitted, what we didn't talk about in last week's episode, which, of course, was Deep Blue Sea. If you'd like to leave your comment for next week's movie, Lake Placid, do it right here. Not here, because you're probably like driving or at your work desk. Go to the earwolf.com, go to the How Did This Get Made forums. Each episode has a bunch of things. You can figure it out. You know how to work a message board. And if you don't, I don't want to hear your comment. All right. The number one correction and omission this week was amazing. We don't condone this. We definitely don't condone it, but we're so happy that it happened. Last week, it came up to our attention that when you type in Stellan Skarsgård's name, it's auto-corrected to Stellar Skateboard. So a few people right after the show immediately took to Wikipedia and fixed Stellan Skarsgård's name on Wikipedia. I believe it has now been fixed back and and Wikipedia has blocked any further changes. But there are some great screen grabs of it. You can check that out on our Twitter page or here on the Earwolf forums. We had it. For a while, we had Stellar Skateboard in the lexicon. A lot of people worried about June. June is fine. June is here. I see her every day. She's doing great. But unfortunately, sometimes life happens and she couldn't attend those two shows. There will not be a very special episode of Deep Blue Sea because she didn't watch it, just to be clearly honest. But don't worry. She will be back. You will see June again. She is safe. She is sound. She is not being held for ransom. And if she is being held for ransom, you know, I would take about six bills. Six bills for it. That would be great. Six bills. Okay. Let's get into it. Now, I have a lot of great corrections and omissions this week. First-time caller, long-time listener writes, if standing on a wetsuit was supposed to stop her from getting electrocuted, then it would have made way more sense if she wasn't already wearing rubber shoes and standing on what looks like a wooden table that was at least 2 to 3 inches out of the water. Then, first-time caller, long-time listener, post pictures of the rubber shoes, of her standing outside of the water. It's crazy. Yeah, this is just a chance to see Saffron Burrows down in her skivvies. And I would say that if it's just for skivvy's sake, they weren't that many great skivvies. I think we could have done better on the skivvies. Maybe give her like a floral pattern. Or, you know, maybe like some funny ones, like some funny underoos. I think that would have really opened up her character a little bit. Cameron H., always known for a great correction and omission, says, when Stellar Skateboard's character is airlifted out and the helicopter crashes, why isn't a second rescue team sent out? I imagine the hospital or airport they're working from would wonder what happened to that rescue team. Was there no concern that they lost contact with their people? Where is the rescue team for the rescue team? Amazing question. Yeah. Why isn't anyone being sent out to this death trap? I imagine maybe it's just what happens. Like, you know, sometimes they send out an ambulance and never comes back. You don't ask questions. You just don't ask questions. Now, Molly L. has written to us with one of the best corrections and omissions ever for its length and for its specifics. I'm going to read it to you because I think it's worthy. Molly L. writes, really love this movie and this episode. I work in Alzheimer's research. I found the entire premise to be baffling, all in caps. I don't have a PhD yet, and I'm not well-versed in animal research, but so much of this movie was out of control. She goes, first off, there's no way animal surgery is like the scene where they extract the protein. Animal research is very tightly regulated to make sure you're following guidelines for humane treatment. Humane treatment, exact opposite of everything happening at Aquatica. Lighting cigarettes in research areas is definitely not okay. I also laughed really, really hard. There was just a huge gun right behind some glass in the lab. That's way dangerous. There would have to be better methods of controlling sharks. I mean, there is some stuff sitting around in MRI environments where I work, like baseball bats for emergency depressurizing and monkey bite kits for, well, treating monkey bites, but definitely no guns. Now, I also know they made the argument for using sharks because they don't show signs of aging in their brain. Now, there are actually many species that don't develop Alzheimer's disease. Pathology, namely amyloid plaques, where scientists do AD research on mice, for example, my understanding is they basically induce amyloid production and aggregation in their brains with certain genetic mutations. Just because sharks don't develop AD doesn't mean that they offer a cure for humans. And even if dropping shark brain proteins on dead human neurons did work, it wouldn't. How would you get it into the right spot in the brains of the living patients without straight up killing them? At best, this would be invasive and expensive that may cause brain damage in its own right. But who knows? Maybe the shark protein would just fix any neurons that were damaged by the surgery too. I don't even know. I did find evidence that shark toxins might increase AD and ALL, ALS risk. This is crazy. So shark proteins are actually causing Alzheimer's disease, and that people have tried to cure cancer with shark cartilage, but it seems to have no effect. And this is to say nothing of the bigger brains equals smarter, or Saffron Burrow's apparent lack of understanding on how to interact with AD patients. Aging and dementia research is very boring compared to what's depicted in this movie, and I'm really okay with that. But Molly, wouldn't you love to be in the middle of the ocean with a bunch of hot dudes and ladies just being dicks to each other, sticking needles in sharks' brains? I know that you like what you're doing. It's all hoi polloi and you're helping cure people, but I think secretly you'd love to be eating some LL Cool J's cream pies and watching him talk to his bird while you shoot guns in a big crazy vat while you hear Sam Jackson talk about avalanche stories. I know it's true, Molly. But thank you, Molly. That was very specific, very helpful, and led me to believe something that I've always thought from the beginning. Deep Blue Sea is full of shit. Bride of Frankenstein writes, apparently, My Hat Is Like a Shark Fin is actually a reference to an earlier rap song. So this is a from an article on Complex Magazine, and this is a quote. It's important to consider LL's depth when one hears the lyrics, My Hat Is a Shark Fin, because otherwise it might be brushed off as an insane thing to say. In its original context, in 1987's I'm Bad, it makes sense. MCs can't win. I make them rust like tin. They call me Jaws because my hat's like a shark fin. But in this context, what does his cryptic poetry mean? He repeats the simile 35 times in the song, so it must carry some ideological or ontological message. But what can it be? And that is a question for all of us to think of. What could it be? I mean, originally, LL Cool J is saying that he cruises through the club like a shark and eats up the other MCs. Here he's basically saying, I'm a fucking shark from a movie. I'm going to tell you my tale. Similarly to Will Smith when he sings the Men in Black song. All right, let's see. This is either Long Island Bond Earth or Le Bon Earth, because I have some interesting gossip to add to this point. I have a family member who worked on the post-production special effects for Deep Blue Sea. According to this relative, the ending was changed without informing Saffron Burroughs. This is crazy. And this is what I was saying. If you watch her death scene again, as soon as she jumps into the water, there are no close-ups, no reaction shots, only a CGI rendering of her body being eaten by the shark as soon as she hits the water. Supposedly, she was never told about the change of the ending, so she went to the premiere thinking she was the co-hero of the movie and was totally gobsmacked, I like that use of that word, sitting in the theater watching herself be unceremoniously killed in the climax and LL Cool J taking her place. Again, this is told to me by someone who worked on the movie, and it needs to be confirmed, but if it's true, it's pretty amazing. I'm guaranteeing you that Renny Harlin's like, I don't give a shit. She doesn't need to know. She already shot the movie. Saffron Burrows, sorry, lady. Unless anyone knows Saffron Burrows and can get her on the show, we would love to talk to Saffron about her experiences with Renny and her being replaced in the end. That is a rough thing. I mean, I said at the end of the movie, you can see they're looking over to her. A lot of trickery in this movie, a lot of trickery. Oz writes, in the podcast, there were references to the fact that even though the sharks were smarter, they would not suddenly understand things. Right, I brought up the point about the shark turn on the oven. Everyone lambasted me. Well, guess what? How come no one mentioned the shark started taking out cameras? Why would they, or more to the point, how would they know what the function of a camera is, and thus there is no reason to take them out? Instead, it's just like they're smart. They knew how to stop us from watching them. Yeah, they know what cameras are. They know what the ovens are, and they know how to lower the station. These fuckers are smart as shit. Ike Willis writes, and here's our final correction and omission. He writes, during an avalanche, snow and ice move up to 186 miles per hour. Samuel Jackson's statement is accurate. Facial, Jason, facial. It moves quick in an avalanche. So that is the corrections and omissions. If you want to add a correction and omission, not for this movie, but for Lake Placid, like I said, go to earwolf.com, go to the How Did This Get Made forums, leave your quote, leave your comment, and if it's good enough, we might pick you. But now it is time to pick the winner of the week. It's got to go to our AD researcher, Molly, for doing the Lord's work. Thank you for helping us cure Alzheimer's. I'm glad you're not doing it with sharks. Molly, you get, nothing, but you get our gratitude. Thank you, Molly. All right, moving on to the most important question of this episode. Would this movie be better with Nick Cage? All right, that's a good question. Think about it, everybody. I want you to think along with me. Would it be better? I'm going to immediately say no. I think that the level of likability in the crew had to be at an all-time low. And Nick Cage, I think, would have brought an electricity to it, would have galvanized the actors, and you would have felt more for each one of them, which I think would have taken away the great parts of this movie. I think that you can't feel for these people. They're awful human beings. Now you say, well, Paul, I'm not saying he should be one of the crew. I'm saying he should be LL Cool J. And to that I say, no. No, 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 no. Nick Cage does what Nick Cage does. LL does what he does. And never should the trains meet. LL is the only one born to play that chef. No one else could do it. Samuel Jackson couldn't do it. LL is born to play that chef. We get this great song out of it, everything. So I'm going to say this movie would not be better with Nick Cage. Mark it, stamp it, write it down. We need a Nick Cage theme too. Send that in. But if you're saying if Nick Cage could be one of the sharks, I'm open to a discussion. All right, people, here we go. What do I like to do? I like to tell you every week what I'm watching, what I'm doing, but I think what I'm watching is what you're watching. Better Call Saul. Yeah, I was nervous about it. Now I'm watching it. I love it. I was nervous it was going to be too jokey. It wasn't going to feel like Breaking Bad. It was going to feel too much like Breaking Bad. Guess what? It's its own show, and it's really good, and there's some really high points that I'm like, whoa, fuck, and it's only a couple episodes in. Better Call Saul. Thumbs up. I know you all are watching the Jinx. Jinx. Amazing. More Jinx. More Jinx, please. What I like about it most is Andrew Jarecki's little suit when he was interviewing Robert Durst in the beginning. So we already know. We already know that stuff. I'm going to say Children's Hospital. If you're not watching Children's Hospital, get on it. It's on Adult Swim, Thursdays into Fridays, or maybe Fridays into Saturdays. You can figure it out. Put it in your TiVo. Rob Corddry, all those guys. I directed a couple episodes. They're very good. So I'm going to give you one thing that I think is great. The one thing I think is great is, for all you fans out there of NTSF, I want you to watch CSI Cyber. CSI Cyber is like an hour-long version of NTSF SD SUV. It's amazing. Patricia Arquette, Academy Award-winning Patricia Arquette, is in it, and this show is bonkers. It is the world of technology and crime as seen through your grandparents' eyes. It is amazing, and the episode titles are such as Kidnapping 2.0, Command Crash, Killer and Route. So check out CSI Cyber. You might enjoy it. Okay, now let's get to questions and answers. Hit it. That is our theme for questions and answers. We're going to get into your Q's and A's. These are left on our Facebook page. Let's get into it and go. How many songs, this is from Tyler Petty, how many songs are there about rainbows and what is on the other side? Look, I only can answer the first part, 35. And what's on the other side? If I do that, I betray my leprechaun code. As a leprechaun, I cannot share with you what's on the other side unless you want to come over to the cult, shrink down, get your own pot of gold, hide it from people, okay? I can't tell you more, but on the other side of the rainbow, shit is crazy. We're talking jacuzzis. It's like a leprechaun entourage over there. For ladies, too. For ladies, too. So, but I can't get into specifics right now unless you are a leprechaun. Anthony Duran writes, why did Egon have a blonde rockabilly do in the real Ghostbusters? Dude, so true. That cartoon made Egon look like a backup guitarist for David Bowie. Egon was a nerd, okay? Ray was a nerd. They all did not look like their characters, although the Venkman one felt the most like Venkman. I guess they figured like kids don't like nerds, so they can't watch them on TV, but that was too nerd in the other way. Not good enough nerd. Okay, and then, okay. Rosie Nagel Yegoyan writes, I just got a beta fish. How long until it becomes a super genius and turns on me? Rosie, you need to get the fuck out of your house. That beta fish, oh my God, I don't want you to be injecting anything into their heads, because if you go in there to put some goldfish flakes in there, he is going to rip off your finger and he's going to take over your house, kill your roommate, take over the world. They're going to get feet. Beta fish are coming for all of us. Kill it now. Flush it down the toilet, but make sure it's dead, because if you flush it down the toilet, then it will eat all the bacteria there. It will grow up really big and then it will kill kids on the sidewalk. All right. Dave Kluwen writes, why is Justin Guarini doing Dr. Pepper commercials when he could be writing the sequel from Justin to Kelly? By the way, these are two things that I didn't think anyone wanted to see, so I can't answer that question. I didn't know that Justin Guarini is doing Dr. Pepper commercials. Now I'm going to immediately Google that, as you should too. And the sequel to Justin to Kelly, I think we are watching that sequel in real life, how that turned out. Jack Thompson writes, who would give the better performance? John Travolta playing Jim Varney in the Jim Varney story, or Jim Varney playing John Travolta in the John Travolta story? Ooh, good question. Okay, well, that's a really good question. We know that Varney can play the silly. We know he can play the straight. We know that he can dance. I'm not sure. He's definitely physical. John Travolta, I don't know if he can be silly. I mean, we've seen him in Wild Dogs. He's at Elements. We know he can be straight. We've seen him in Pulp Fiction, right? Who would be better? I'm going to go out on a limb and say, right out the gate, Jim Varney playing John Travolta and the John Travolta story would be the indie movie that made people go, holy shit, Jim Varney is a fucking actor. And then he would go on to win Oscars. He would be our generation's Ryan Gosling. If that was the opportunity that was afforded to Jim Varney playing John Travolta in the John Travolta story, the wigs alone would get him a fucking Oscar. All right, let's get a couple more questions in here. Andrew Ma writes, are you Team Caitlyn or Team Britt for The Bachelorette? Oh, such a good question. Okay, I'm Team Caitlyn all the way. I love Caitlyn. She's the fucking best, all right? Britt, I think, is maybe a better show, but maybe it's not. Caitlyn's going to be funny. Britt's going to be dramatic. I say let's keep them running the entire season. Wouldn't that be great to have two bachelorettes, two bachelors, much more drama? Oh, I love The Bachelor. Guys, I should do a Bachelor podcast. Have there been a Bachelor podcast? We should do it. Marion Tanade Johnson writes, to answer Paul F.'s query about making sharks' brains bigger, I wrote a paper for my undergrad bio class about the scientific inaccuracies in Deep Blue Sea. Turns out body-to-brain mass ratio actually can influence brain capacity. It's not the most accurate predictor, but it's roughly useful. Making sharks' brains bigger cannot make them able to swim backwards, which it did numerous times, and which Stellar Skateboard specifically lets them tells them to ignore. So crazy. So I don't know what your paper really said, and this is not really a question. This should go in the corrections and omissions. So, Marion, keep your fucking opinions to yourself. All right, here we go. Andrew Yeager writes, what's the worst movie theater that you have ever been to? Ooh, good question. Good question. You know, it's hard to find a bad movie theater. It's really, really hard to find. I think the second run theaters are always the worst. They smell like feet. People are in there watching movies that came out 6 months ago. They probably are on iTunes right now. So I feel like the smell is the thing that makes the theater really bad. Although there is a theater here in Los Feliz that I live that is so tiny. It's like, why am I watching this in a theater? It's like just being in someone's like really cramped living room. It's like, oh yeah, well, we have a giant TV. It's not that great. The Los Feliz 3, I like it for convenience. I hate it for everything else. And finally, fuck, marry, kill. Mark Wahlberg, Mark Ruffalo, Mark Hamill. Easy, easy, easy. All right, fuck Mark Wahlberg, marry Mark Ruffalo, kill Mark Hamill. This is the first thing that came to my head. I just feel like Mark Ruffalo is going to be a fun guy. I'm going to go to the farmer's market with him. Mark Wahlberg is going to be a great fuck. Mark Hamill, I love that guy. I don't want to kill him, but these are the choices that you're giving me. He's amazing. Okay, and here we go to Phil Jack, writes me the question, what did I do to June? Where is June, Paul? Phil Jack, as I said earlier in the episode, if you give me six bills, I will tell you where June is. She will be back. She will be back. She will be back. Also, if you guys are wondering, are we going to do Fast and Furious or Furious 7? We are, once Adam Scott gets back in May. So have no fear. It won't happen immediately like last time. We're going to wait for Adam Scott, who is away in Australia shooting a movie, and it's going to be better than ever. Fast 7 or Furious 7. It should win the Oscar. At least that's what, according to Vin Diesel. Okay, people, that is it for our mini episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you guys for being here every single week. Remember, if you're coming out to LA on April 4th, it is Con Air at 8, Face Off at 10. We'll see you next week for Lake Placid.
See you later. Bye-bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio Boom.com. The wolf dead.